Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Good evening, everybody. This is Destiny Fox.
And this is Michael. We're so glad to be back again this week.
We have with us, right across the table from us for a change, we have Kobe Daniel.
Hello, everyone.
And all the way from Tallapoosa, Georgia, we have Youngblood Brett.
How's it going?
It's going. It's good to have you on. I know you've been working on Thursday nights and you got the night off and we got to have you on the podcast. It's good to have you. Jessica is one of our normal co-hosts, but Jessica is sick and she spent most of her day in the hospital today. So they did finally let her go home, but she's still under the weather, but she'll be back with us next week for sure. A good topic we've got tonight.
Yes.
Dreams.
Dreams.
Do they tell us something? I mean, are they just our subconscious? Or is something really trying to talk to us? I've had different kind of dreams. I'm going to share one. I've got two to share, but I'm going to share one that I've had on a regular basis here. Not on a regular, this one's not a regular basis dream. I had a friend, and my friend's name was Richard. Richard and his wife were good, good friends of mine. I loved Richard so much. He was a stay-at-home husband. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. So he had stomach cancer, and he passed away. It broke my heart. I mean, he and I were such good friends, and it just busted me to pieces. I think I cried harder and longer at his funeral than his own family did. It was just heartbreaking for me. And for days and days and days, probably weeks went on, and I was just so sad, and I couldn't stop thinking about him and, you know, thinking about how I didn't get to tell him goodbye and different things. And so one night I had a dream, and I dreamed Richard came to see me, but where we were was like a party atmosphere. There was confetti, balloons, the whole background was white, just as white as it could be. The floor, the wall, I remember everything in detail. And I'm standing there talking to him. He looks like he's having such a good time. And he's holding a cup in his hand. And in the dream, I was telling him, I miss you so much. You know, in the dream, I knew he was passed away. I miss you so much. I think about you all the time. And then he said, I'm fine. I'm having the time of my life. And then I said, will I ever see you again? You know, and I think my train of thinking in the dream was, are you going to come back and visit me in a dream? Because I knew it was a visitation in a dream. And he said, you'll see me again. I never saw him again, but right before the dream ended, he had a cup he had in his hand. He splashed on me and it was confetti. Well, it woke me up from my dream. And before I went to bed, there was a glass of water on the headboard of the bed. And somehow that glass of water turned over on the nightstand and had soaked me in the face. at the same time, he tossed that on my face. So paranormal, I don't know. I don't know. But dreams are so crazy. Youngblood, what is the craziest dream you've ever had?
I believe the craziest dream I ever had was one night. I had a dream that I was actually at work, like in vivid details. I was at work doing my job, like to a T. And then I woke up with the alarm, and it was for time for me to go to work. But when I went to work, it was pretty much the same thing I had in my dream. It was really weird.
Like a deja vu dream?
Yeah, kind of like a deja vu, because everything that happened that day, I pretty much had a dream about it, like in detail.
What's the scariest dream you had?
The scariest dream or nightmare that I had probably a couple years ago after our house fire, I had a dream that where our new place is was actually in flames, but I was awake in the dream, but I knew I was dreaming, but I just remember waking up in like cold sweat and shaking all over. But I believe that's the most terrifying dream I ever had.
What about you, Kobe? Kobe's already told me he don't dream much.
Yeah. The craziest one's probably feeling like you're being chased. Something chasing you can't get away from.
Yes, I've had those. I've had those. Most terrifying and craziest, that was it?
Yeah.
I told Kobe earlier, I said, you just don't have a conscience. That's why you don't dream. You just don't have a conscience. Michael, what about you? What kind of dreams have you had?
Most of them I don't remember. For what I've read, we all dream, but we don't always retain what we dream. That's a state that you enter into in your subconscious level when you reach REM sleep. But one of the ones I've had within the last couple of years is for a while there, I was dreaming about a funeral.
I remember that, and you had talked to me, and you said, I think I'm going to die. I've seen my funeral.
Yes.
I remember that. You had me terrified.
Yeah.
But that was the same time you were dealing with all the issues that you were having, like they thought maybe you had kidney cancer, and
yeah,
all this was going on, and, you know, I was beginning to worry.
Yeah. Now, you know, there is a lot of professionals that connect the paranormal with your dream state. It's believed when you reach that subconscious level, spirits are able to communicate with you easy. It takes less effort for them to communicate because you almost have reached their level of existence when you're in your subconscious REM sleep state.
Right, yes. Right. Well, here is sort of a paranormal dream that I had a few years ago. We were in Tennessee at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. We had some friends with us, and we were going to investigate that hospital that night. That day, I got the phone call that an old friend of mine had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurt me that he'd passed away, but the thing that hurt me the worst is because he and I had been so close. Again, another good friend, and I know everybody's going to be scared to be friends with me now because all my friends just tend to leave. But it hurt me real bad because we were not on speaking terms at that time. We had a big argument. He left my house, and I never saw him again.
I remember that.
And I never talked to him again. He never reached out to me, and I never reached out to him. But, you know, I still loved him. The care that I had for him never changed. But I had a dream last week, and I dreamed I was at a funeral with him. And it's been, what, 3-4 years since he passed away?
Yeah.
And I really, you know, I haven't thought about him that much in a long, long time. But at the dream, I know we were there for a funeral, but I remember I had worn my outfit I was going to wear all day that day, and all the other women had gone to their motel rooms to get prettied up, except not just regular clothes. These were like ball gowns they were putting on. And I'm like, well, I'll just have to wear what I wore all day today. It's what I was going to wear. So that's just what I'm going to wear. And I went into the room and Max was standing there and he never looked at me. And he never acknowledged I was in the room, which in reality, when we were friends, you know, we would have broke our necks to get to each other. And so the dream ended with somebody taking a picture of him posing with some other people. Another dream that I had about him. Now, this was the first dream. And this was a little more than a week ago. In that dream, we were in a place and he had like a vendor's table set up. And he had asked me, but he never looked at me. He said, would you please go tend to my table? Well, when I get there, there's somebody else there, you know, and I was like, well, okay, I guess I'm not going to help him at his table. Well, that was pretty much the end of the dream. And I spoke with Michael and I talked to another couple of family members. And I said, somehow I've got to make peace with him. Because I feel like because of the terms that we parted on, that maybe he's reaching out for an apology or, you know, maybe I need to apologize to him. So the very next night, I dreamed about Max again. Okay, in this dream, I saw him and he looked at me and I went up to him and we hugged each other. And I said, I want to apologize to you. I'm so sorry all this happened, but you don't know the details behind what happened. He said, yes, I do. I know exactly what happened and why things had to be like they were. And then I just remember it was peaceful. I felt so comfortable there with him. In my dream, I mean, we were just like hugging each other and it was just like old times and it felt good. And I have felt good about it. Now, whether it's my subconscious trying to tell me, you know, you two, one or the other of us initiated this and, you know, the other one's hurt, you know, somebody needs to apologize. I wish things hadn't have happened that way. But I really wonder if it was him reaching to me from the other side.
Yeah.
So that we can make amends. But I do feel better. I really do.
It's possible, you know, that he could have been using that as a conduit to contact you.
Right. And then when my friend Joey died, yet another friend, matter of fact, I have his ashes in my home. When Joey passed away, he came to visit me. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people that pass away don't come and visit me. And I don't know what the difference is or why. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm waiting on a dream visit. Would really like to have a dream visit from some of these people. And some I just don't. And I don't understand why not. Why can't I have a dream visit from everybody I love that passes away? So have you dreamed about a loved one before that passed away?
Yeah, I have. I've had dreams of loved ones passing away, especially when my mother passed away years ago. I mean, that was the same thing as ripping my heart out because I was very close to my mother. I have had, you know, over the years, dreams of her coming to see me, but it's been a long, long time since I've had any. It's like, you know, contact has been severed or something.
Yeah.
So, and then I've had loved ones pass away, like when my dad passed away, I never had a dream about him, but we weren't real close in life, so he was a very hard man to live with.
Dreamed about my granddaddy. He came and saw me.
Yeah.
My mom, both of them. But you know, a lot of people have lucid dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have lucid dreams.
Okay, so what's the difference? I mean, a lucid dream.
A lucid dream is a different state of consciousness.
Okay, we're going to have somebody joining in with us here in just a minute that is just dying to chime in on this. So we're going to give him just a second to come on with us. So, Youngblood, you may not get a word in edgewise tonight.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm used to listening.
There you go.
But talking about dreams, I've never per se had one or like a family member or a loved one. Mm-hmm. But my wife actually had a really good friend of hers that passed away tragically. And a few days later, she actually had a dream that that person came to her in a dream and told her everything was okay.
Right. I've had dreams where, and I don't know if I was dreaming or if I was awake. The dream that I had was scary. It was terrifying. There was a creature after me. You know, it might have been the chocolate cake before I went to sleep. But this, I mean, if I could describe it, I mean, I'm serious. It looked like a devil. It was just so terrifying. And it was coming after me, and I knew that it was. And we want to welcome on the show the Cajun demonologist, Jeremy Leonard. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
So I was listening to your podcast here, and y'all were talking about Kobe doesn't have no conscience. Well, here's another thing. He's not a very good assistant, neither.
I still love you, Jeremy.
Tell him he needs to tighten up.
He needs to tighten up. He's listening to you. We've got you right on the show here.
I'm listening.
So what is your take on deceased loved ones or people that you love visiting you in dreams? Is it just our self-conscious or,
well,
you know, are we really being visited?
Here's the thing about earthbound spirits. Earthbound spirits are going to do what they call indirect contact, okay? And it's a way to protect them from drawing in a demonic entity. And it's also a way to protect us, the living in the celestial world, from unintentionally inviting a demonic entity in. Now, what do I mean by indirect contact? Which means, like, for an example, my wife's grandmother used to collect dimes, okay? And my wife will find dimes in the most randomest, out-of-the-way places you could possibly think of. That's her letting her know, hey, I'm here with you. That is what we call an indirect contact. And that's the way to protect both the deceased and the living from unintentionally, you know, luring in something that we don't want to invite into our life.
Right. So I have dreams sometimes where it's like I'm half awake, half asleep, like I'm in that Never Never Land kind of place where, you know, I don't know, am I dreaming or am I awake? And at times it feels like something, and it's an uncomfortable feeling, is leaned over me, looking at me. I can feel them there, sense them there, but when I open my eyes, I'm fully awake at this point, and nothing's there.
Well, so when it comes to dreams, also, dreams is connected to the conscious mind, okay? Because consciously, you're sleeping. That part of your brain is shut off. But subconsciously, you know, and your subconscious mind is also connected to your spiritual senses. Okay, so we live in a physical world, so we're used to physical senses such as smell, taste, touch, all of those things. But we also have spiritual senses. And when we dream, our subconscious mind is either one, trying to warn us of something, or it's trying to tell us something on a spiritual level.
Okay. Now, if you were listening to when I was talking about my dream about my friend Max, the night I dream before the makeup dream, that next morning I had felt Michael kiss me by to go to work on my cheek. And then I heard a man's voice, and it sounded like it was just outside my bedroom door. The door was open. I heard him say, "I can't stand her." And so I kind of put that with the Max dream. Maybe at the time he was still mad at me.
I mean, I don't know for sure. Look, but from my perspective, I would say probably not, because, you know, when you pass on and you become, your consciousness becomes pure spirit, I think that you forgive all that needs to be forgiven. You don't want to take any extra baggage that happened in the physical world with you into the other realm. Now that's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's part of the subconscious mind having guilt because, you know, like you said, you never reached out to him. Y'all never settled y'all's differences. If I had to guess or give a hypothesis, that's what I would say. I would say that's the guilt side of the subconscious mind.
Right. What about sleepwalking? Or I actually went someplace in my sleep once, and I may have told y'all about it before. I dreamed I had walked from my house to the Pilot truck stop in my nightgown barefooted and bought me a Pepsi. Now, before I went to sleep, my daughter had given me $10 that she owed me that she had borrowed from me, and I laid it on the nightstand. When I woke up the next morning, I had wet grass on the bed and in the floor. I had dried grass on my feet and a Pepsi on my nightstand, and the change was there too. I know that's not paranormal, but I'm telling you, that's a part of dreaming. Mm-hmm. And that was crazy. So I really went there.
I have no answer for that. I mean, the only thing I could think of is maybe astral projection. But I mean, if you're going to astral project, you know, that's going to be in the spirit realm. It's not going to be right. Physical. So the point that the grass is in the bed, I have no answer for that.
Well, I had an older sister. She would sleepwalk to the point, you know, we had to put bells on the doors because she would go outside in the middle of the night sleepwalking. I remember my parents, you know, trying to put booby traps and warning things all over.
You had to do that for me once.
Yeah.
Because I was doing it on a regular basis.
But she kind of outgrew it.
So here's another thing that I'm thinking about, Jeremy, is if our lost loved ones that have gone on to be in their forever home can reach out to us through our dreams, because it's spiritual, it's our spiritual subconscious. You said that. What's keeping demonic from coming through in our dreams?
Well,
we be protected in our sleep?
So this all stands from spiritual right. Okay? Demons have a full right to someone, which means they have to be invited in by our own free will. You see, when we're sleeping, that is a subconscious thing. We're not giving in, inviting in with our own free will. Even though our subconscious mind is running, the conscious mind is the part of your mind that makes the decision on whether you yes or no inviting something in or not, not the subconscious mind. Think of the subconscious mind as like a digital recorder that records every event that's ever happened in your life, every feeling, every emotion that you've ever had in your life. Your subconscious mind records all of that, and it always obtains that, okay? But in order to make a decision, you have to do that with your conscious mind, not the subconscious mind.
Right.
Well, so basically, in your subconscious, you cannot give them permission to come into your dreams.
Exactly. You cannot make a moral judgment or a moral decision through the subconscious mind. That has to take place through the conscious mind.
Right. But human spirits can contact you through your subconscious state.
Well, they're in some way alive.
Yeah.
That, all right. So, yes, they can. But you see, they are communicating with you through the subconscious mind. So, in other words, you're receiving, but you're not putting out. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're receiving, but you're not sending.
Right. I've also had a dream before where I could not move. And it was one of those things where I do not know if I was awake or if I was asleep, because there is that twilight moment, that place in between being awake and being asleep, right, where I could not move. I wanted to move. And I've had dreams where in the dream I could not move and nobody would help me.
Dream paralysis.
Yeah, a lot of people think you're being...
Yeah, a lot of it, I would say, is paralysis. What a lot of people don't understand is when we're in a deep sleep, that's when we dream. And when we dream, our body paralyzes itself so that we do not act out our dreams while we're sleeping and hurt ourselves. So, you know, I think maybe that might have something to do with it.
We could.
Right. And then there's dreams where people... actually say they wake up and they're hovering over their body, and when they fall, like, they fall right back into their body.
Yeah, and that stands from astral projection. Okay, I mean,
no, that's the astral projection, the
ability to for your consciousness, your spirit, leave the body and travel astral to different places and stuff like that. And so what you're saying is something that a lot of people that experience astral projection actually talk about. Whenever they can see their body, they can see themselves leave their body and go wherever. And then whenever they come back, they actually re-enter into the body.
That's scary, because then you've got to think, okay, well, I'll be scared to death to sleep now because I'm afraid my spirit's going to leave my body and I'm not going to be able to get back in.
I don't think you really have anything to worry about, because I think that your brain is wired a certain way. And I think that the brain knows how to reconnect the two almost instinctively, without even thought. It's just something that comes natural, because you got to think about it. So again, and you heard me say this all the time, what part of your existence is purely spiritual? Okay, so your thoughts is purely spiritual. All right, that's what you would call your soul. That's what makes me different than you, you different than me. All right, but your thoughts is intertwined with the physical body through the brain. So when we think our thoughts, we visualize what we're thinking. That's called manifesting. So it's almost like a natural thing. I mean, look, people, think about this. From the next time you think, are you listening to someone talk? Think about this. You're visualizing everything that person's saying. Even though you're not trying to, it's just in your mind, you're visualizing it. Some people do it with images. Some people do it with words. But nevertheless, you are manifesting something from a pure spiritual state into the physical world.
Right. And then there's also dreaming where my son has the weirdest dreams. I mean, on a regular basis, he'll tell me, Mama, you are not going to believe what I dreamed. And I'll be like, what is it? And he said, I can't even. He said, I can't even talk about it. But in past times, he's told me that he's had dreams of things that did happen after he dreamed they happened. And he's actually said he's dreamed about the end of the world and that he would actually be a part of that. And that has him terrified. He's like, if it's like I saw in my dream, I know I'm going to be a part of it and I don't like it. Maybe it is just a dream, but he does have dreams where things actually come to pass that he dreams about.
Yeah, now, that's what we would call it.
Could be related to psychic ability.
Yeah. I really don't know. And I don't know how to explain it other than, you know, the common phrase for what you're talking about is deja vu, you know, where we will remember either dreaming or thinking an event that we're in at that moment. And we're like, wow, I've been here before. I know exactly what's going to happen next. But usually it's only like maybe, you know, no more than 10 seconds that you're going to actually remember. Now, as far as this dream about the end of the world, you know, from my personal standpoint, if you look at the state the world's in today, that's not really that far-fetched. I mean, your son's still very young. So, you know, if you pay attention to biblical prophecies and all of that, I mean, all of these biblical prophecies are coming true right now, like the Euphrates River running dry. All of those, you know, it's just one after another. So, and all of these things have to take place in order for the end times of the rapture to take place. So could the rapture take place in our lifetime? If not, definitely your son's lifetime. I would say there's a good chance that that is a possibility.
Right. It definitely gives you something to think about. You know, here we are living on Earth, and a lot of people are having the times of their lives and not even realizing that what could be at play in the world around us. It's crazy. It's crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's because we have so many distractions in our life now. You know, when you look at our ancestors, you know, like in the day of Christ, for an example, Native Americans, they were all a lot more spiritually sound than we are nowadays, because they didn't have all the distractions such as social media, television, all of those things. So they were a lot more in tune with their spiritual side than we would be in this day and age.
Right. So we should pay more attention to what's going on in the world around us. And you know, cell phones are a distraction, because I know I talk to people all the time and I'm like, oh, I'll be bringing up a subject and they're like, oh, I didn't hear anything about that. And I'm like, the whole world's heard about this. Why haven't you been playing Monopoly?
Yeah.
But another form of dreaming too, and I've dreamed of me in a past life. And I've heard a lot of people talk about this. Now, whether it's, you know, DNA dreaming, you like when somebody goes to a place and, hey, I've been here before, just on the other side of that building, there's a big oak tree just down the road, there's a store on the right. And sure enough, it is. I believe some of the dreams that I have, you know, are dreams, maybe not so much of me in a past life. I don't know how I feel about reincarnation, but I'm very open to any aspect of the paranormal. But, you know, I read articles about DNA dreaming and stuff, and it sort of makes sense. Maybe I'm dreaming something that happened to my great-great-great-great-grandmother. For example, one dream that I have is I am walking along on a cobblestone street, and there are shops outside. I remember seeing fish hanging up by their tails from a little awning type thing. I see bread and baskets and things. And then I've had this dream several times, and, you know, it doesn't have any significance in my life. So maybe it had significance in one of my ancestors' lives.
Yeah. I mean, I believe reincarnation possibility. I mean, you know, even though anything biblical about it, you know, when we talk about the celestial world, it's so much bigger than we could even comprehend. I think that sometimes souls are reborn for whatever purpose.
And we are actually in the process of bringing a new team member to Fox Paranormal, and this gentleman has experience in spiritual warfare, which was a big plus, you know, when he reached out to us. It's like all of a sudden we had people reaching out to us, you know, from every direction. And Michael and I had only mentioned to each other, you know, I'd like to have somebody new on the team, somebody that can bring this or that to the table, because all my team is important, you know, and each one's got their own specialty. But I was wanting somebody more into the spiritual warfare, and then here he comes. It's like it was destined to be. And so he was telling me the other night that he knew that there is so much more. There's more than ghosts and demons and angels, because he was telling me how as a child he had experienced and witnessed a shapeshifter. And this is an intelligent man, and not somebody who would be prone to lie.
Right. I mean, whenever you see into skinwalkers or shapeshifters or stuff like that, I mean, most of the time connected with black magic of some kind. So, yes, I do think that there are, there's in between what we would call entities, which is pure spiritual being, and, you know, different types of spirits, spirits, if we want to call it that. I mean, like elementals and stuff like that. Yeah, I do think that they do exist. There's that barrier in between the two. You know, it's just kind of like day and night, kind of at dawn. It's kind of in the middle. It can go either way.
Yeah. Well, we were investigating with you when it was the first experience I had ever had with an elemental spirit at the hospital that time.
Yeah.
You had visually seen it, and Michael was capturing it on the SLS.
Right.
As you were seeing it and describing its motions and movement, Michael was verifying every bit of it on the SLS.
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, elementals are a lot more common than people would think. You know, they're everywhere. They're pesky little critters, and they're not evil. And they're mischievous. I mean, that's the best way to put it. They like to cause chaos. You know, especially if you intrude on their domain, they get a little upset. So, yeah.
Right. Well, to be honest with you, it took me a while to realize there's a lot more out there than just ghosts and demons. Because in my early years of paranormal investigating, to me, that's really all that existed, because those were the two things that I had personal experience with.
Right.
You know, I've took your class. I've took a psychic medium class, and I'm beginning to realize that a lot of things that I thought was just a residential haunting or demonic was actually another sort of spirit. So it was really eye-opening to me, because, you know, my mind was trained and I was trained, oh, okay, it's ghosts or demons. It's one or the other. Every haunting, it's either a ghost or it's a demon. And well, so my total mindset has changed on that.
That's why sometimes we don't need to categorize things either as earthbound spirits or demons. And we need to classify it as energy. It's either positive or it's negative. And both are going to draw in a feed off of themselves.
Exactly. Well, one thing about it is I'm very open-minded to anything paranormal. I've never seen a Bigfoot. However, maybe I did at one time. We're going from dreams to paranormal, which is fine. We never stick to subject anyway. But just because I've never witnessed or I've never seen doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The same way with cryptids. Michael and I were watching a show last night on Paranormal Caught on Camera. And a lot of that, you know, can be explained away. But this sort of caught my eye. There was a guy in Mount Pleasant?
Yeah.
Mothman had been seen.
Yeah, Mothman.
Yes. And so he found a tunnel, and he began to walk down in this tunnel for a long, long way. he walked and walked, and he was just went in with a mindset, hey, I'm just exploring this. He didn't go in to investigate any sort of haunting or anything. He just went in because he found a tunnel and wanted to walk through and record as he was walking through this cool looking tunnel. Well, just as he got to a turn, crossing there in the tunnel, something came around the corner of this section, and it had glowing eyes, and it was like it was looking around the corner at him. And then when he finally realized what he was seeing, there was a smaller sort of entity or cryptid jumped out there, and you could actually see its body and how it moved. It moved with great speed. I tried my best because I sat and watched those shows like, okay, there's got to be something, there's trick this, you know, but this one, it was so real.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with manifesting. You know, is people in a certain area focus on, you know, the beliefs of the Mothman. All right, again, you're sending out energy, and I think that when you have a big concentration of energy being focused on you know, one area, I think that plays a role in it.
Right. I know a lady now that she has been convinced for.
All right, I gotta go, y'all. I got a call. It's been fun.
Okay. All right. See you later. Love you, dude. So, yeah, I hear his call going off. So, cryptids, that's something I really want to learn more about and get more into myself. Very fascinated with the possibility of cryptids. Youngblood, we need to go somewhere and find us a Bigfoot, dude.
I've always been interested in cryptids.
Yeah, I know you have. And, you know, that's something that we haven't experienced at all while investigating the paranormal that I'm aware of. But again, open-minded.
And not that I could think of, but that's something I've always been interested in.
Yes, especially Bigfoot.
Yeah. And I have my own little theories about Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. So, but that's for another show, another time. We may do a cryptid show. It was good to have Jeremy jump on the show tonight. Jeremy is one of our good friends. He and his wife, Tammy. We've actually had Tammy on our show along. Mm-hmm. And at another time, we've had Jeremy. And we hope to have Jeremy back pretty soon so that we can talk about his new book, the Book of Prayers, that I can't wait to get. I cannot wait to get these spiritual prayers. When we do exorcisms or deliverances, you know, we depend on those prayers. Mm-hmm. And to have them all in one little place like that so that you could just read them off or, you know, memorize them. I think Jeremy's got those things memorized when he's helping us pray, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll call him on the phone. We did the other night on an investigation. Hey, you know, because he had sent me a message, wanted to know what was going on. And so right over the telephone, you know, he joined in with us. He began to pray. I had prayed till I was prayed out and didn't have another prayer. He jumped in there and, you know, and then the new gentleman I was talking about, you know, his spiritual warfare prayers. And, you know, I really think our team is going to be a powerful team, you know, putting everybody, we've got an experienced investigator. We have Kobe, who's about to gain even more knowledge about spiritual warfare. Michael is ITC, the best there is. And then we have Jessica, who is a superb investigator, and Youngblood is too. You know, when we put everything that we have, we specialize in a different area of the paranormal, every one of us. And when we bring all this together, it's like a powerhouse. You know, and I can't wait to see you know, in 2 or 3 years, where we're at and the level of investigating and what we're able to see and find. I am fascinated. And really, I'm excited about our team again. Everything is just falling back in place. You know, we got in the humdrum. Summer was too hot. Nobody was calling for investigations. And then now we're getting calls and things are looking up. But this time of year, it's like paranormal activity just kicks up. I don't know if it's because Halloween's coming and everybody's got their mind on spooks and spirits, or if there's actually something about this time of year where paranormal activity kicks up. I just don't know.
A lot of people believe that this is the time of year that the veil's at its thinnest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it makes it so much easier for spirits to travel back and forth between the physical world and spiritual world.
I guess the moon phases, the position of the mm-hmm. earth would support
cooler
that,
weather,
you know.
Being cool.
I don't know. The earth moving further away from the sun, there has to be a reason.
It's got
to
be.
There has to be a specific reason. I don't know how I feel about a veil or anything like that, but
well, I mean,
there has to be something dividing
for
this.
Years as a veil.
Right. There has to be something, though, dividing this world from the spiritual plane.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a veil or whatever it is, you know. There has to be something.
I mean, I don't buy into the theory of the Matrix, you know, that we're all a computer program.
I don't buy
into that. No.
I don't buy into that.
I'm not that little sports car that somebody's controlling on the Monopoly game. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have free will. You know, we all have the free will. We mm-hmm. can make our own decisions.
Right.
Regardless what anything wants us to do or say, we're able to make our own decisions, make up our own minds.
Well, I just, you know, if it was true, you know, that we were a computer program, I would really like this guy that wrote it to rewrite my character and make me rich.
I know, right?
Yes,
we have haunted locations, far, yes. far away places we would like to go to.
Yeah, I mean.
So, we're going to be going to some places the beginning of next year. We've already got some places in mind. Any place in particular you would like to go investigate, Youngblood?
Not particular. Other than, I know it's a little bit of distance, but there's a lot of places in Savannah. That's my go-to place.
Every paranormal investigator in the United States of America mm-hmm. has been to Waverly Hills. I have never been to Waverly. And I want to go so bad.
Myrtle's Plantation.
Yes, the Myrtles. Oh, yes. But there's places I want to go. So you get them to program you rich.
Yeah.
Baby Michael, because your sweet wife wants to go to all these places.
Yeah, you know, they need to redo the program.
Absolutely.
Make Daddy go.
You know, I live in Tallapoosa, and Tallapoosa is actually known to have a lot of haunted history here as well.
Yeah,
it really does, and we've investigated some places there.
Yeah,
and also our friend Susan Pitts actually runs the ghost tour in Tallapoosa, Georgia.
Yeah.
And guys, let me tell you something. Google it. Get the information. I'll post it on the page.
Very good.
It is a very good ghost tour.
The knowledge that she has gotten,
yes,
is phenomenal.
The haunted tales, the history, everything,
yes.
And it's so fascinating. And you'll feel like you're in your hometown if you go and do this. We might post tonight that we may possibly be out there. So if anybody wants to come and join Fox Paranormal on a walk through the little town of Tallapoosa.
We usually try to make it at least once every year.
Mm-hmm.
Make our show for the guys over there. Give them our support.
I think I got my cities mixed up. Is it the Tallapoosa ghost tour?
It is.
Okay. I was just making sure.
Yeah,
I do the Tallapoosa.
Okay. Because I got thinking Bowden for a minute there. And I'm
no,
like, no, we don't do Bowden. But yeah, I would like for us all to get together and do that, and we'll give you the night that Fox Paranormal plans on going this haunted season, and you guys can buy tickets the night that we're going to go, or we may get with Susan for a night and just have it Fox Paranormal night.
Yeah,
we'll take some crew with us, some of our fans and friends. Make a night of it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. I enjoyed Youngblood being with us. It was so good to have you. I hope you get more Thursday nights off.
Yeah, me too. I appreciate it.
And it's always good to have Kobe. Kobe is one of our regular co-hosts. Kobe is about to start a demonology class, and I'm excited about that. And it's always good to have my sweet handsome husband sitting right beside me.
Always.
Yeah,
always.
We're sitting in a different location tonight. Usually we're in our room doing the podcast. Tonight we're in a big, huge cafeteria looking place. And it's just us in here. And we're all sitting here at a table and we're enjoying it. And we miss Jessica so much. And Jessica, if you're listening, sweetie, you get well soon. I insisted that she not participate tonight, but she was more willing and wanting to do it. And I said, no, 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 you rest. And we love our producer, Stan Fikes, and his lovely wife, Teresa. And it is such a privilege for Fox Paranormal to be a part of the Web Paranormal Network. I'm just tickled to death. We were talking about that earlier, and he was telling us some of their plans for the future. And, you know,
he's got some exciting stuff.
Yes, he does. And we're not going to talk about it because that's his stuff to talk about. But we're excited for them. And, you know, we'll help them in any way we can.
Yes.
They're like family to us. And
no, they are family to us.
Yes, they are.
Aren't like family. They're family.
But we're going to let this wrap up our Thursday night Fox Para Chat. Yeah. And as always, guys, peace and love.
Good night, everybody.
Next Thursday.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.